Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, I see you working hard. Wanna let you know, I'm proud. Let you know that I admire what you do. Don't know if I need to reassure you, if my life will be purposeless without you. If I want it, when I ask you, you inspire me to be better. You challenge me for the better. Sit back and let me pour out my love letter. Let me help you take off your shoes, untie your shoestrings, take off your cufflinks. Don't you wanna eat food? Let me feed you. Let me run your bath water, whatever you desire. I'll fly ya, sing you a song, turn the game on. I'll brush your hair, help you put your durag on. Wanna put her up, want a manicure. Baby, I'm yours, I wanna cater to you, boy. Let me cater to you, cause baby, this is your day. Do anything for my man, baby, you blow me away. I've got to deliver your dinner, your dessert, and so much more. Anything you want, let me cater to you. Inspire me from the heart, ain't nothing tear us apart. You're all I want in a man, I put my life in your hands. I've got to deliver your dinner, your dessert, and so much more.
Away from you, making sure that I'm doing my part. Boy, is there something you need to do? If you want it, say the word.
I'll try it.
I know whatever I'm not fulfilling, another woman is willing. I'm gonna fulfill you, my body, spirit. I promise ya. I keep myself up, remain the same shit you fell in love with. I keep it tight, I keep my figure right. I'll keep my hair fixed, keep rocking the hottest outfit. When you come home, they tell me on my shoulder, I'll roll over. Baby, I heard you, I'm here to serve you. Love you need, give it is my joy. All I wanna do is cater to you, boy.
Let me cater to you, cause baby, this is your day. Do anything for my man, baby, you blow me away. I've got to deliver your dinner, your dessert, and so much more.
Welcome, welcome. Okay, my man, my program director is on point. Everything is everything. How's everybody doing tonight? Welcome to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Podcast. It's Friday, December 9th. We got a very good show for y'all tonight. Very good show. I'm really prepared. You know, everybody know I'm usually running around to the last minute. But for this show, I've been setting everything up for the last 30 minutes, making sure the writing was right and descriptions and making sure the sound is right. making sure the internet is good. I've just been making sure everything was good. Because, you know, like, sometimes when you want everything to go good, something always go bad. But not tonight. Yeah, everything is on point. I did a sound check, and we here. We got a good show for everybody this evening. We got a very special, special, special guest coming through in a couple of minutes. And I'm really excited, and I'm anticipating another very good show. I'm gonna bring my guests in, but I'm giving people time to call in. I see them coming in slowly, but we giving them time to come in. Before we start, everybody know the rules. If you want a line, you have to press 1. If you want to go live, and that way I'll bring you in. If you're on the link, I appreciate you very much. My link, the people that's listening from the links, the numbers have been going through the roof lately for the people listening on the link. So I always got to send my deepest appreciation to the people that's not calling in and to the people that's out there on the links. Because without them, I mean, I appreciate the callers too, but they don't really count the callers at Blog Talk Radio, the app that I'm on. They only count the people that's on the links. But I appreciate the people that's on the links and the people that's calling in. First, before we start off, let me say tonight's episode of the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean podcast is sponsored by John B. Houston's Funeral Home, 236 Ellison Street, Patterson, New Jersey. The person that's in, or the partner in the business, Reverend Frederick Harold Agar, he's referred to as the director of operations. So, just want to give a shout-out and let everybody know that they sponsoring the show for this evening. John B. Houston's Funeral Home, 236 Ellison Street, Patterson, New Jersey. What else is going on today out there? Brittany Griner came home. Oh, man, that started so much mixed emotion and debates and confusion. And I'm sure everybody out there know who Brittany Gardner is. The WNBA female basketball player, 7-foot female basketball player, who was illegally detained in Russia for trying to bring back, I believe, some vapes or some marijuana vapes, and she was detained. When she actually been unlawfully detained over there in Russia for like the last 10 months. But with her coming home, it started off a lot of anger and things, because it's still more Americans over there. I believe a Marine called Weiner or Willer has been sentenced to 16 years unlawfully. And then a lot of people were saying that we got a 7-foot basketball player, and they got one of the most dangerous men. They got an arms dealer, Victor Bout, I believe his name is Victor Bout. Everybody know him as being known as the Angel of Death. So, okay, I gotta call somebody back. So Victor Bout. So everybody know about that. So I don't know where everybody stand. Everybody got an opinion on it. You know, I was talking to somebody and I was saying that he was like, oh well, we got a basketball player and they got an arms dealer. And I was like, well, what about if Brittany Garner was your family? What about if she was your family member? How would you feel about that? And then some people said we should have got two people free for one. And maybe that could be true. But all in all, you know, we brought home Brittany Gardner because I'm sure she was being held and dealing with the most, they said, horrific, the living situations over there. Because I say in Russia that Russia wasn't built for like seven foot, you know, somebody 7 foot tall. They even said that the cars that she rode in from jail to court or from court to wherever she was going, she was handcuffed and had to be bent over for hours and hours, you know, while she was being transported. And the living conditions was, like I said, horrific and almost unlivable. So, you know, 10 months of that, we just could be happy that Biden or the government and everybody else who has something to do with bringing her home, you know, we got to applaud them. We gotta know that it's a blessing, you know, I mean, because she got family. Even though we want to bring all the other United States prisoners home, too, you know, we'll do our best for that. Otherwise, in news is just news. You know, I don't really get into political aspects too much, but everybody know that the COVID is back on the rise. Also the flu and something else that I can't remember what it's called, but all that is back on the rise. So everybody try to stay safe and everything like that. I got to call my guests and bring my guests in here real quick. Let me see. 1 second.
Oh, may I help
Hello?
You?
Hello.
Yes,
Andy. Yeah, how you doing?
It's Sky. Okay, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
What's up, yo?
What's going on, Sky?
Why are we scheduling a game? Why are we scheduling a game while the Lakers are playing?
Oh, the Lakers?
I mean, scheduling a show.
I'm a Knicks fan.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing very good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so happy. Hold on, I just got the new design he put out. Oh. I'm good. I'm turning off all my ringers, off of everything. You have my full 100,000% attention. Oh. I'm just happy.
That's
to see
good.
You,
that's,
well,
that's
not to
good.
See you, but to talk to you. It's been...
Yeah, right.
I don't even know how many years it's been.
It's been a minute.
Times years.
Yes, but the thing is, I was trying to find you, but I had lost you for a minute on the internet. And, Because the last time I knew you was on Facebook, you was into the health thing, like you was working out and everything, and you was you was doing like, and that's what I was following you. You was doing a lot of, like, I guess nutrition and
and
things like that. You still doing that?
Of course, I cannot give up. I'm just tweeting right now that we're on the air. Sorry,
you're
doing it in real time. I'm sharing it on social media for people to come listen to the show.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, so, yes. Yeah. So, when I turned 40, I started getting my health together, and I never turned back from it. So I'm still trying to, you know, stay on that track. I still, for me to be in my 50s. I look great, if I must say so myself.
Well, everybody saw the flyer, so they know you look great.
Oh, thank you. I'll send you a check tomorrow for all the good compliments coming my way.
But look, I was trying to figure out, like, earlier before the show, I was trying to figure out, I was like, I don't want to ask her how old she is. I'm just going to ask her what quarter in life is she in, like 0 to 25, 25 to 50, 50 to 75, or, but you just said you 50, right?
51.
Okay, so you in the third quarter, like 50 to 75 in the third quarter.
That's where I'm at. If that's what they're saying, I'm definitely
okay.
But I love it.
You love it?
Hell yeah, I love it. Because you know why? I'm old enough to know better, but young enough to remember when AI was balling with braids in his hair and we were in clubs. And these kids now, I say these kids, they don't know what it's like to go to a club and people dance. Like, just dance and have a good time. I'm old enough to remember that, so I'm grateful. Not to mention, it's a lot of people our age that didn't make it to this age. So,
right.
I mean, we got to be grateful. I know I am.
That's true. Before we start, I gotta Hello.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Sound like you was at the ocean.
Does this sound better now, or did it sound better before?
No, it sounds about the same.
Oh, okay, because I just put my headset on.
No, I can still hear you. But look, before we start, I need a couple of minutes. Not many minutes, because I want to. I told this story so many times, but I got to tell it again, how we first met.
Oh my God!
Because it's this right here is very it's really important to me, and it means a lot to me, and I have told the story over and over because you know everybody always look at like Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, or you know LeBron James, Floyd Mayweather. Or the people like mm-hmm. that, you always see them at their height, but you don't know about the journey, how they got there. You don't know about the
right.
people that helped them along the way, who coached them, who mentored them, who helped them, who,
wow.
you know, you don't know about all that. So anyway, let me give me like 3 minutes.
No problem. I'm not going anywhere.
All right. A long time ago. And everybody know my history. A long time ago, when I was out in the sporting life, and I say something like I was the king of exotic dancing for that, and I was the king of exotic dancing. Some people might say I was a pimp. I'm gonna call it the king of exotic dancing. But anyway. I was coming to the end of my time in my end of my careers, and I had a idea or a notion that I wanted to write my autobiography. And everybody kept telling me, you should write a book. You should write a book. Cause I had so many stories. And then I decided that I would try it. But I didn't know anything about writing a book. Just like people who want to write books now. I get mad when people don't know how to do something. They always want to ask somebody, and they don't want to do the hard. But I didn't know anything about writing a book. All I knew was to write it. I went mm-hmm. to the library in Patterson, and I took this book out called How to Self-Publish Your Own Book. And the thing that was funny, I kept it. And every time it was time for me to bring the book back, I would sign it back out again. Until they told me, like, yo, you can't sign this book back out again. Somebody want it in another library. But the guy there named Sean Bay, he told me, yo, it was a lady here who just gave a cinema on how to self-publish a book. And I was like, damn. He was like, you just missed it. He was like, but you know what? She gonna be in Passaic. And I was like, wow, really? He was like, yeah, I guess I don't know for sure, but I think it was like a week off or maybe 2 weeks off or whatever. So I had that date embedded in my mind, and that's all I thought about for days and days. And then I think it was on a Saturday, but I had a bachelor party to take some ladies to on a Friday night, and I wound up taking the ladies. I wound up taking the ladies to the party, and drinking too much and coming home, you know, with a couple of ladies. And partying, and then I woke up in the morning, and I woke up late, and I don't know the right time. I'm just gonna what they call it, embellish, I guess. So say if your cinema was at 11, I think I woke up. I mean, if your cinema was from 10 to 12, I think I woke up like 11:30 or something. So I just got up and brushed my teeth and threw my clothes on, and I jumped in my car and I drove to Passaic back. Back then, you got to remember, we didn't have GPSs and all
no.
that. So I didn't really know exactly where you was at. So I was just asking people. You was at the library, I think, right?
Yep.
And I was asking people on Main Street, like, where's the Passaic Library? Where's the, you know, and a lot of people in Passaic is Hispanic. So some didn't know English, and some gave me direction. Anyway, I found the library. I jumped out of the car. I run upstairs. It's probably like 10 minutes to 12. I think you got like 10 minutes left in the cinema. Now, I've told this story 100 times. It's kind of emotional, too, for me. I get up there to the cinema. I remember I come in. I sit down. You go over a couple of things, and you close in the cinema. Oh, man, now it's over. Everybody leaving. I think you selling books. You had a guy with you. I don't know if he was a security or whatever he was. He was packing your stuff up. And then I came over to you and I told you, like, you know, that I wanted to write a book, but I was late. And, you know, I mean, how disappointed I was and everything. And I always remember you told the guy to stop packing up or either wait in the car. You told me to sit down. And you went over the whole seminar with me.
Seminar.
Again, I'm not saying you did the whole 2 hours, but you squeezed it into whatever time the hour what you gave me or whatever. But the thing was, you taught me so much about barcodes and the ISBN number and different publishing companies and you gave me names and numbers and companies
you
took out the time, like, and I always say, like, all the books I wrote and all the movies I did. I don't even know if you know I did movies, but I did movies too.
No.
And I wrote 7 movies. One was in the movie theater, and but all that is because that you took the time out. You know what I mean? Because without that, I would have still just been lost. But you took the time out and kept me there and went over everything. And with the knowledge, just with the knowledge you gave me, I was able to take that and write my book and get in touch with, I can't remember the publishing companies, different publishing companies. And I knew about the ISBN numbers and the barcodes and everything. So I just had to tell that story. But, you know what I mean? So. And also, you gave me my first ever radio interview, because I'm on Blog Talk and you was on Blog Talk in 2008.
Yep.
So.
Well, can you believe that was like 15 years ago?
15 years ago.
That's bizarre. 15. That's like crazy, 15. Yo.
But and do you remember when you came to my where I was working at Enterprise? Do you remember you came there? You was going somewhere.
I
said, yo, I left you a donation in the car in my ashtray or something.
I listen, you telling too much now. This is, you know what's crazy.
That was a big donation.
Randy, this is recorded for future usage.
That's how much I appreciated you, though. But I had to tell you.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know what to say. Like, for real, I don't even know what to say because a lot of people might see me now, right, and be like, damn, Sai, you're really doing X, Y, and Z. And I feel like saying, I'm not new to this. Like, I put in the work many, many years ago. My first podcast was started in 2008. So when I hear people, I got a podcast, I'm like, no, I was doing that 15 years ago. And I don't knock anybody. I don't see anybody. We have over 500 episodes on Blog Talk Radio from 2008 all the way up to 2017. And so when I hear and when people like you hit me up, there's always going to be love. Always going to be love. Like, whatever you need, find me. You know, social media gets janky sometimes. I got cut. Somebody hacked my account. I had to, like, find everybody all over again. And it's such a process. And that taught me another lesson in and of itself, that you have to make sure you have people's phone numbers, emails, text message, contact information outside of social. Because if something happens to that, you're done. And it's happened to me. I lost thousands of followers on Instagram. I can't get back because there's a guy right now, a prominent DJ. I'm not even going to get into who it is, but he and I have been friends on Facebook for years. When my Facebook was hacked, he can't accept any more followers. I can't even get to him right now anymore, whereas before we were Facebook friends since high school. And it's like, damn, you know, you don't take the time to get people's contact information. And so I think this is a perfect instance where I'm grateful that we reconnected and found each other. And I don't want people to be like, damn, that's Sai. I want people to be like, yo, that's Sai. You know what I mean?
Right.
But in order to get that response from people, you have to put in the work. I mean, I bumped into somebody from high school. Let me just say, I had a ball in high school, so I make a lot of references to high school. I feel really badly for people that were picked on in high school and had a bad experience, because I did not. If I could blink my eye and go back to high school, I would. But I've bumped into people, a girl, I reconnected with her this year, and she's like, Sai, I remember you from high school. You were always so happy and nice. So I've always fought for the underdog. That's kind of like in my DNA. So I remember clearly when you got there, late. Why would I not, if I have information, why would I not sit with you? You made an effort to get there and just be like, nah, money, I'm good. You know, sorry, whatever. Like, why? Like, I make a joke all the time. I want my wings. You can't do stuff like that and think, I'm not going to say get into heaven, like, in a literal sense, because I don't want religious people to freak out. But I'm just saying, I want my wings at the end of the day. And so I feel like you have to pour into people because you never know how it's going to come back to you. Like, you have me on your show now. Like, I'm so grateful. That's why I say, yo, wait, let me tweet this. Let me share this. Let me let people know they can tune in and listen. Like, that's love. Like,
that
you
is.
Want me to spend time with you. I'm appreciative. You know, and have me on your platform. I'm appreciative of that. So I want to hear about your books and your movie. You want to talk to me? I want to talk to you. I want to know what you've been up to all this time. Now I have a new podcast that I can listen to.
Yeah, I've been up to a lot. You know, remember, I know you, I remember I came to the meet and greet in Passaic. I think I met your father, your son.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. My sons are old now.
At the bar on the corner in Passaic, remember that? I came to that.
I do.
Yep,
we've been like two ships passing in the night. I think we've been like two ships passing in the night for all these years.
Yep.
Because you know why? There's a professional admiration and there's a professional respect that exists between you and I. I mean,
exactly.
One of the things that one of the things that I remember when we first met, you were not as confident as to tell me what your profession was and how you get down. And I remember I didn't even care because I treated you. And here's the crazy thing. I didn't know who you were. I didn't know you were popular. I didn't know you were that guy. I had no idea. To me, you were a guy. You treated me nicely. You spoke to me with respect, whatever, whatever. I didn't ask you for anything. I wasn't trying to, you know, get anything from you. Because I know at the time, for your listeners that don't know, I know you have people trying to get stuff from you all the time. And I never came into that way. Oh, you know, they want something from you because who you are and who you were at the time. And so, you know, people are always jockeying for position, trying to get something from you. I never did because I never saw you that way. You never governed yourself that way around me. So I treated you the way you treated me. And I think there's always been a professional respect between us since we met, honestly.
Since we met, since the day we met. And that's a beautiful thing, you know. But
I feel that.
But look, let's find out about Luxury Psy, the interior decorator. But before we do that, look, for the people that's listening, because we got the people on the phone lines and stuff like this. For the people who don't know, what you want me to call you, Luxury Psy or Psy?
Call me Psy. Just call me Psy.
Psy. Psy. Right, for the people who listening, everybody, who is Psy?
that's loaded. So I think before anything, I would be a humanitarian. I think at the end of the day, I am somebody that powers human potential. Anybody that's dealt with me knows I try to pull out the best in everybody in every situation. So I think at my very, very core, I'm a humanitarian. I believe in people. I believe in the power of people. And so as we get a little bit deeper into this interview, I've written 10 books all over the media. I've been a sports agent, a real estate agent, worked at the United Nations for a couple of years. But in all of the things that I've done professionally, and I've made a lot of money, at the very core of it, even with my current profession and my gallery of interior design, I'm not just an interior designer that's going to make somebody's house look a certain way, right? The first thing I ask people, my clients, or before they're even a client, what is your favorite color? Why do you want to change your house? Why do you want your sofa facing that way? What is your interest in doing this to your home now? All of those questions, those probing questions, once again, pull out the best in people. It's about powering human potential, tapping into people through conversation so they can be the very best version of themselves. So I feel like I'm a humanitarian, and I'm not a religious person by a long shot, but I really do feel like I'm doing God's work, whatever that person's God may be or what God represents to that person. I feel like that's the work that I'm doing here on earth every single day.
Wow. But that's deep, because it seemed like ever since I knew you, you was always on a different endeavor, you know. And being successful at it.
I'm lucky.
I really think you are.
I'm lucky.
You could be like a life coach for a lot of younger females and older females. And the thing believe in you.
They do, but you know what it is? I'm fearless. I'm really... I don't want to curse, but I'm really effing fearless. And, you know, it's crazy because life has a way of shaping us, right, when you're a kid. So let me take it back real quick. My mother was married to a white man from the time I was very, very little, right? So I grew up where my mother was married to a white guy, and then my dad's side of the family was very black, just regular black people, you know, go to church on Sunday, they eat chitlins, they, you know, just regular old normal black people. And so when I would go to Passaic, which is where we're from, you know, that's where I'm from, they would tease me that, oh, your mother's with somebody white, oh, you think you're better. You know, I have long hair. I've always had a lot of hair, so I got teased for that. Like, I just kept getting teased. And, you know, now it's the bullying thing, but we got teased for anything back then, and you couldn't go crying. You had to knuckle up, fight them, and keep it moving. But what it did was I realized I'm different, and I'm different through no fault of my own. I didn't do anything. People tell me now I'm very tall. Oh, you're so tall. You're pretty. Whatever it is, I don't see myself that way necessarily, but other people did. But as a kid growing up, I kept getting labeled. I was very smart. Oh, you think you're better because you get better grades. I can't help how my brain is wired, right? So as I became a young adult and moving into adulthood, I really had to take on the position of I don't care what anybody thinks, because I've been treated this way by people my entire life. And instead of keep running from it, I leaned into it. Oh, all right, bet. I'm different. Well, I'm going to show you how different I really can be. And when I embraced that, my life really, 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 really changed. Because now you have nothing to compare me to. You have nothing to compare me. Like, you know, I'm different. I think it was Big Daddy Kane said, I'm different, so don't compare me to another. I'm really different. So there's really nobody that you can compare me to. So when I go into these endeavors, I make sure I'm already going into an endeavor where there's really nobody you can compare me to. There's always going to be competition and people that are doing similar things, but I'm always going to put a little spin on it. And so, you know, I feel like God sprinkles a little bit of fairy dust on every baby when they're born. But I think maybe, you know, when I was born, I maybe got a little extra fairy dust. I don't know. Because the things that we value in society, certain characteristics and certain traits that we value in society, I was blessed with. So I can't say it's through the work that I've done. It's just by nature of who I am. And so I'm very grateful for that. But I did the stupid crap like everybody else. I got pregnant as a teenager. You arguing with your baby's father. This chick got a bigger stroller. My baby should have a better stroller. You know, typical hood stuff that we did in the 80s. But even going through that, I had my eye on a very different prize. And once I get locked into something, I don't look left and I don't look right until I achieve what I actually want to achieve. And that's kind of how our paths crossed. Nobody was talking about writing books when we were doing this, Randy. Nobody. Nobody.
You had a couple of books when I met you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. My first book is from Hip Hop to Heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. From hip hop to what?
From hip hop to heaven. I was working in the entertainment industry. And I wrote that in 2003. And my last job at the time was I was KRS-One's personal assistant. And I realized, like, I can't be in this business anymore. This is not a healthy business for me. And I got out, and everybody kept hitting me up like, Si, you're not in the entertainment industry anymore. What are you going to do? And I was like, I really don't know. I just don't know, but I know I can't work in the industry anymore, because I felt like there were too many compromises that I had to make as a woman, as a wife, as a female, to get ahead. And there were compromises I was just not willing to make. I have kids. I was married. I have kids. And I was like, yeah, I'm not willing to sacrifice what they want me to do to be in this business. And so that's when I wrote From Hip Hop to Heaven, and that was in 2003. And then from there, I just kept going up and up and up. I've taken a lot of shortfalls. I've taken a lot of L's, but what can you do? just be mad? Yo, walk around mad. I'm mad, son. What? That's crazy. Who wants to just walk around mad? You marinate on it. You sit down for a while. You think about it. And then you be like, you know what? F it. I got to keep it pushing. And you just keep it pushing. And I'm sure you've had those same situations in life too, haven't you?
Yes, I had a lot of ups and downs. But it just seemed like I always felt like, well, not even how I always felt. I always had people, like friends of mine, tell me, close friends, like, Jay, you always was different. You always was different. And I used to like when people used to tell me that I was different because I didn't understand. Like, I'm like, different like what? Like, I don't belong on the block with you, or, you know what I mean? I don't belong in the car with you, or you know, I always wondered. But then once I got older, I kind of understood and I kind of embraced it that, like, different is a good thing sometimes. Maybe you might be a little bit more motivated. Maybe you might dream bigger than other people. Or maybe you might go left when other people go right. You know, maybe you won't, you know, maybe you won't do this when a lot of people is doing that. You know what I mean? So being different is okay. And when people notice it, it's okay too. And having people that believe in you, you know, that's a big thing, like a support system and stuff like that. But I want to know why interior designing? Why interior designer? How did that come about?
So, interior design, let me just take it back real quick. I was an agent, a celebrity agent, for probably like 15 years, just managing and marketing celebrities, getting them booked, just like an agent, just a straight agent, WNBA agent, certified WNBA agent. I'm very good at representing people, right? I have their best interests at heart. And I had an opportunity to represent this woman who, Mary Terry, running a women's organization at the United Nations. And Mary was very old. You know, she was 88 years old, and she was ready to retire. And she asked me, would I like to be the next president? And I was like, holy cow. You know, I'm a chick from Jersey, da-da-da-da-da. And so, you know, I went through the process, and I became president of the National Council of Women at the United Nations. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. And so in that space, I traveled around the world, meeting women from other countries, looking at the plight of women. And when my term was over, I said, well, what am I going to do now? And that's when I got into real estate, because I saw how, when you travel outside of this country, you see a different place. Literally, like, you see how people live, how different people are. And when I was at the United Nations, I saw people were constantly moving. Oh, they're moving from Canada to Europe, from Europe to Mexico, from Arizona to Ohio. Like, people were just constantly moving. So I knew I could make really good money in real estate with all of the connections that I had made. So I got my first license. I earned my first license in New York. Then I moved to New Jersey, you know, got my New Jersey license. Then I got my North Carolina license. And then COVID hit. And when COVID hit, everybody had to sit down. Nobody can go outside. You can't get your hair done. You can't get your nails done. Can't get your eyebrows done. You can't go out for cocktails. Like, you just had to sit. And so I started doing a lot of interior design projects in my own home. And I realized that even when I was in real estate, I had to do a lot of staging. I had to do a lot of design work, because if somebody hired me to sell their home, 99% of the time we could not sell the home as it was. We had to paint. We had to move furniture. We had to stage it, get their furniture out, bring new furniture in, all of these things. So I have been doing interior design on the low all the while when I was in real estate. And so then we started coming out of COVID, and I got back into real estate. I realized it wasn't making me happy. I just said, I don't want to do this anymore. But at this point, I've developed a nice roster of clients because all the people that I was managing before as a celebrity agent, they were now starting to become my real estate clients. And, you know, their transactions are pretty much high ticket, high dollar transactions. But on the other side of COVID, I just was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do real estate anymore. I don't want to sell houses. I don't want to help people find houses. And I said, Saida, what can you do next that's really going to touch your soul and spark joy in your life and make you happy? And during COVID, when I was doing projects around my house, I redid the backyard, pulled up trees, not something simple like, oh, just plant flowers. I mean, I chopped trees, did landscaping, because if you remember, when we're in New Jersey at the beginning of COVID, we couldn't even go outside. We had to stay in the house. So the only place I could go was Home Depot. So I bought pavers. I paved a new walkway in the backyard, all of these things. And I realized how much joy that brought into my life. And so as we were starting to come out of COVID, I made a decision. It was a very tough decision, but I let my broker know I'm getting out of the business. I don't want to be in real estate anymore. It was very difficult. But I did it. I left. I gave up my life. I'm still licensed because you have your license for a certain number of years. I'm just not a practicing agent. And I decided in life, you just have to decide. It's not about who you know and what you know sometimes. It's once you make a decision, the world is going to stretch around you. And I decided I am an interior designer. I decided this is what I want to do. And I haven't looked left and looked right. And so once again, if you're a good person, the people that have been on your journey through all of your changes and all of your detours, they will stay with you. So when I made the announcement that I'm going into interior design, people were like, bet, what do you need? What are your rates? How much do you charge? How can we work with you? And it just blossomed. I mean, I just started my interior design business this year. And my gallery opening hasn't even been a week. It's been just a week. It was last Thursday. And we did the ribbon cutting. But I really feel it's because I just decided this is what I want to do. This is what it is. And it was the next step in my life.
I know, because, you know, I even hit you up to talk about investing or something. You was like, too late.
Yeah, that was crazy. You know what's crazy? Can I tell you what's mad crazy? So, yeah. Okay, let me tell you. I partnered with Kiva. It's K-I-V-A. Kiva.
Yeah,
K-I-V-A.
I saw that.
So I partnered with Kiva to get funding. So the way Kiva works, so if anybody's looking for funding for their business, take note. I partner with Kiva. You fill out the application. Kiva gives you a loan for your business based on other things besides your credit score. Because what happens is if you go to a bank, they want to look at a business plan. They want to look at your credit score. Well, what if you don't have a business plan? And what if your credit score is trashy? And what if you don't have a lot of money in the bank? Then they're going to feel entrepreneurship is not for me. Well, Kiva looks at all of the other things besides those things. They're going to look at your social media to see if you say you are an interior designer, are you posting interior design stuff on your social? So Kiva approved me for a $4,000 loan. Now, the way it works is Kiva says, listen, we went through all your information. We're going to approve you for a $4,000 loan, but you got to go out and raise the money. All Kiva does is let your investors know that they've checked you out. So now I'm in the streets like, yo, you can invest in my business for as little as $25. I'm hustling, sending links. Well, they give you 30 days to raise your money. So if you don't know a lot of people, you think you can't do it, don't ask for $4,000. you might only ask for $1,200 or $1,500 because you got 30 days to raise your money. Some people might ask for $10,000 or $15,000, but because my business is so new, I really didn't feel comfortable asking people to invest in my business that new for that amount of money. But I was like, I know I could raise $4,000. Well, lo and behold, I still had like 20 days left, and I raised my $4,000. I think I hit my final investor, and it showed I had 20 days left. So I hit my numbers right out the gate. And so you hit me up, and you were like, Sai, I want to invest. But at, by the time you hit me up, I had already hit my $4,000, you know, the $4,000 goal. And other people have been like, hey, Sai, I saw the ribbon cutting. I want to invest. You know how painful it is to tell people to turn down money? Like, I'm good, but you are real. You were like, listen, I still want to invest in your business. And you sent me the money. But that's how Kiva works. And I think it speaks to being able to have good relationships, saying what you mean and meaning what you say. So now when I hit the streets and I'm like, listen, can you invest in my business? People were investing $25, $50, maybe $100. Mostly everybody invested in my business for $25. And so it was painful to tell you, like, yo, my investing window is closed. But I had to tell a couple people that. And so when I told one of my friends, he was like, so why did you take a $4,000 loan? You should have taken 5 or 10. And I told him, honestly, I was scared. Remember I told you I live fearlessly?
Right.
It doesn't mean you're never going to be afraid. You just have to work through it. And I was like, I don't want to be embarrassed and ask for 10 bands and I only get 7, because if you don't hit your mark, you don't get any of the money. So I was like, I don't want to come out the gate with, I didn't want to come out the gate. I just started my interior design company this summer. It's barely 6 months old. So now I'm telling people, oh, I was in real estate. Now I'm in interior design. I need $10,000 and I have 30 days to do it. I was like, nah, Sai, you're playing yourself. you're playing yourself. And so I was like, I'm going to ask for $5,000. I know I could get $5,000 in 30 days. But then I was like, I don't know. Christmas is coming. It's the end of the year. People might not have it. They, you know, so I said, let me just ask for $4,000. And now I'm pissed because I got my $4,000 in like 10 days. Like, I just was hustling and grinding.
I know, because I saw it said, because I read all about Kiva. And then when I looked, it was like you had 20 days left. Or I don't know. It said something. And then I seen, like, the space where you was at. So I was dragging my feet. I was like, okay, well. And then I went back on, and I was like, does this say funded close? Funded close? I was like, And then I asked somebody that was with me. I said, does this mean funding close? I just seen it. I'm like, damn. See, that was like like at a racetrack, like the fence, you know, in the last stretch, like, like that took off. But Sai, look,
I'm grateful.
It's a couple of people that's texting me. They want me to call them because I told you I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk now. They charge certain callers and people steady texting me. They want to hear it live. So what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna take a quick break and play a song and call these four people so they can listen live.
Okay.
And then we come right back because I want to talk some more about the journey and the interior design and let you promote everything you want to promote before I let you go.
I'm not going anywhere.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Y'all might hear some phones ringing, but we're gonna be right back. Sai Brown, Luxury Brown, on the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online podcast.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
Yeah.
love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. Whoa, I think I'm in love again. And here we go again. Don't wanna have another heartbreak, but every time that I see him, we thought she'd take my breath away. Let's get a grip and start out with a friendship. Cause sailing with a Moby Dick can sink a ship. Thinking with your head, but you get a shot of one. Remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90-day rule, but we rush it too. In 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay and save favor when nature throws us a curve of love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, yeah, lover, homie, lover, friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running. To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you save me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you will wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Welcome, welcome back. Sai, you still with me?
Yep, I had just hit mute because I was singing. I was thinking it yesterday, so I muted my phone, so I didn't actually, y'all didn't hear me.
that's one of my hottest sounds. That's a dual group out of Atlanta, Georgia. It's like a popular song on the podcast.
It is.
Man,
I
can't believe it. Thank you. So look, this not only for my listeners, this for me. Interior designing, because that's like a an occupation or a profession where some people might say, like, well, how do you, like, do you really get clients for that, or do you really anticipate getting clients for that, or maybe like only people only gonna call certain people to come design a house, or how do walk us through like a good contract of an interior designer.
So basically, when I started just this past summer, my intention was to do homes, because that is what I have been doing when I was in real estate. But ironically, I've only done one person's home. It was, granted, it was kind of a big home, but everything else I've done has been commercial. I've done one other home. I'm sorry, that's two. I've done three homes. I'm sorry. But the biggest jobs that I've done have been commercial. Like, I just did this girl's space. We turned it into an entire winter wonderland. I designed the gingerbread house. We have stuff hanging from the ceiling, stuff blinking. I mean, it's amazing. So what happens is, what I did is I figured out, how much money do I need to make period. How much money do I need to make to live? And then what's the lowest amount that I would take to do the work, to do that particular assignment? And then I doubled it. And so I can honestly say I'm not the least expensive interior designer. But if you get me and you pay, you're going to get top-notch service. So in addition to interior design, I have the Luxury Sci at Home magazine. I have a whole candle collection. So there's other things that I do around interior design, not just interior designing commercial spaces and designing people's homes. But in the contract, it's absolutely necessary and imperative to lay out the scope of the work. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What's the deadline and how much is your budget? Those are the three most important questions. What do you want me to do? What's the deadline and what's your budget? From I may be a good fit or I may not be.
Well, I don't mean to cut you off, but
is it like
you might get one contract to get one house and then you could chill for mm-hmm. like a 3 months? Is it something like that?
So you can, but here's the thing. So that's how it was in real estate. Let me just be clear. Real estate, I was a full-time agent, but I was not an aggressive agent. So I might sell a house once every couple of months. You might get a check for $20,000, $15,000. But that might only come every couple of months because I wasn't in the streets grinding. I personally curated the business that I wanted. And luckily I was in a financial situation where I wasn't pressed that I needed to sell a house to pay my bills. I wasn't like that. So I could take my time, build relationships. So when people wanted to make a real estate transaction or if somebody wanted to needed a hey, Sai, I saw this house. What do you think? Hey, Sai, I'm thinking about moving to this area. What do you think? I could do those all day long. And that's the business that I chose to create for myself. Interior design is different. I want to build. I'm continuing to quickly build my brand as a top-notch interior designer by staying working. I'm taking a very different approach. So I'll design a Christmas tree for $200 up to 7.5 feet. So when I do that, like I got an order for 15 Christmas trees. I couldn't do that. That was too big for me at this point in my career. It was for a commercial piece of business. I came highly recommended, but she wanted it done like the Saturday before Thanksgiving and she wanted me to do 15 trees. I don't have the capacity to scale for that right now. But if somebody wanted like the place that I just finished this week, I'm going to put those pictures up on IG. We did 2 Christmas trees in one location. I did a nail salon. It's like a beauty bar. Her tree is absolutely beautiful. I did her tree. I did her window. So for those, you charge a couple $100s. But if you could crank them out, you can make good money. I'll tell you what my rate is. My rates are on my website. My day rate is $1,800. So that's a little bit different than like, hey, Sai, I want to redo my living room. If you want to redo your living room, it might cost you $400, $500, $600. We're going to switch around some furniture. I'll make some paint recommendations, maybe get some pillows. Or you may say, Sai, I want to renovate my house. I don't want this wall here. What kind of countertops would you recommend? What kind of appliance would you recommend? If people are doing things like that, I recommend they just pay me by the day. Pay $1,800. Now you have me for the day. So a day is not 8 hours. I'll do a 12 to 14-hour day because I include my transportation. So it might be 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. There's your 12 hours. You have me. It could be 9 at night till 9 in the morning. It could be 9 in the morning till 9 at night. Whatever your 12 hours are, that's my day rate. And it might be better that way if you're really not sure.
But look, I'm a little confused. So
yep.
When you come in,
and you are an interior mm-hmm. designer, and you're going to be there mm-hmm. 12 hours, right? So when you give suggestions,
mm-hmm.
are you giving suggestions on, like, the, like, oh, you need an L-shaped couch, and you need a chandelier, and
mm-hmm.
you need, or you doing stuff like that, and then they have to buy it, and then you have to get people to put it in, or they have to get people to put it in?
So what's really dope about the whole situation is, as an interior designer, we have something called trade accounts. So say you go to a store, Macy's, let's just say Macy's, that's a very common store. You might go to Macy's and you see, oh my gosh, I really love this couch, it's $900, right? If you hire me, I can probably get that couch for $700. So when you hire me, I'm only going to charge you $800. And if I'm able to make my money off of the product, I might discount my daily rate from $1,800. So say, for example, let me give you a perfect for instance. You're a client. Hey, Sai, I'm getting married. My wife, my fiance doesn't want any of this furniture because this was for my past. She wants a whole new living room. Okay. From a scenario like that, that's a little bit more in-depth than just we're going to paint and we're going to get a new sofa. What I would recommend in a situation like that is pay me for the whole project. So that project might cost take 3 weeks, right? So I might charge you like $1,500, something like that. But in that instance, it's because I'm going to make money off of everything that you buy for your house. So if you want to buy a sofa, the sofa that you like might be $1,200. But because I'm an interior designer and I have discounts with stores, I might only pay $800 or $900. So I'll tell you, I can get you that sofa for $1,000. You're already saving money because you work with me. And now we're going to save money on your sofa. We're going to save money on a chandelier. We're going to save money on a lamp. We're going to save money on the mirrors. We're going to save money on the carpet. Because interior designers get bigger discounts than what the general public would get off of regular items. Now, once I come to you, we create something called a mood board. And on the mood board, it has pictures of different sofas, pictures of different lamps, pictures of all different color walls. And once we put your mood board together of what you like, then we go shopping. Typically, what will happen is the client will put their credit card down. They put their credit card down, and then your sofa may not come in for 3 weeks. You may not get your sofa for a month. You may have wanted a sofa, but they only have gray, and you wanted brown, and your brown sofa won't be ready for 3 weeks. That's just what it is. So that's why in a certain instance, I can't charge a day rate if we're doing a big project like that, because the furniture that you want that we have to order, it may not, it's not all the time that you could just go to Bob's Discount Furniture or go to Macy's or go to some other store, Ashley Furniture, and just, it might not be there. It might not be ready. And so now you put your credit card down. When it comes in and we start doing what's called an installation, I'm there for the installation. So when I'll call you, hey, listen, your sofa is ready. We'll try to schedule everything to arrive, like say on a weekend. That way, that weekend will come in. I'll make sure we have helpers to move your old stuff out, cause as minimal disruption to you and your family. And then we have what's called installation day. And when we do an installation, the client, you may be there, you may not be there, you may go out shopping that day, you may go to a movie, whatever it is. And while we're there, we're actually in your home doing the installation of what we picked out on the mood board. We've already picked out the fabric. We've already picked out the carpet. We've already picked out the lighting. So all I'm doing is overseeing the installation into your home. And at that point, like you see on HGTV, they have what's called a big reveal. You walk in, you close your eyes, ta-da, and this is what we've created. But we've been communicating through the whole process. That's just an instance of a whole room. I've worked with people for a couple hundred bucks, and they're like, listen, I just need my bedroom redone. I don't have a lot of money. I don't know what to do. And I'll help them. We have something called a room refresh. A room refresh is only $475, and I'll walk you through your entire one room, whatever that room is you want to do, and we will get it from where it is to where you want to be for $475.
That's,
so it depends.
It's good because I know people that's listening. I'm trying. Well, let me say right now, if anybody on the line and you have any questions for Luxury Side, press 1, and I'll bring you in.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to ask questions that I think people might want to know. Because I'm telling you, and when you say interior designer, that's it's intriguing and it's interesting because it's almost like, you know, like me, I'm a journalist. I went to college to be a journalist. I need 6 classes to graduate. But a lot of people say,
come
can
to
you make money?
Congratulations.
Thank you. People be like, can you make money as a journalist? You know what I mean? Like,
that's
absolutely one of those. But look, hold on 1 second. We got a caller. 5392, you live.
Hi. How you doing? It's Dr. James.
Hi.
I was
how you doing, Dr.
James? I have a question. How you doing? You said that when it's installation, you bring your own helpers. Do we have to pay the helpers also?
Well, it's included in your project fee. So typically what'll happen is we go over your budget of how much you want to spend, and then we work backwards. Because if there's something that I can do myself, like I'm not putting up a sectional sofa, that I'm not going to do. But if it's curtains, things like that, I'll absolutely do it because I'm not in the business of spending my clients' money. So quick, for instance, I had two Christmas trees to put up for someone, and she bought all the stuff from Amazon. We went over her colors, this and that. She ordered everything from Amazon, and then when I got there, I actually did the installation myself. I put the lights on the tree, the trimming on the tree, and we had a lot of extra stuff. And I didn't open the packages. She had so many boxes of lights. I used the bare minimum, and I told her, send back everything that I didn't use. I could have used it, but I used the bare minimum to make it still look beautiful because I don't want to just waste my clients' money. That's the fastest way to not have repeat business.
And how can one contact you? Are you on the internet? How do we contact you?
Absolutely. I'm on Instagram is probably the best way. Just put in Luxury Sai, the word luxury, L-U-X-U-R-Y, and then S-A-I. And my DMs are open. Like, I don't, you know, my DMs are open. So you can just DM me. My phone number's up there. I'm a pretty public person. I'm a pretty public person.
I'm going to tell you that you're dealing with an old timer. I don't know what you're talking about. Now I know one. I know one thing. Instagram, I know, but I'm not on it. But I don't even know what a DM is. What is that?
A DM is a direct message. So you can send me a private message right through Instagram, or I can private message you my phone number. I'm not going to just put my phone number on the on his show. Or you can go to luxurysai.com. Do you ever go on the internet?
Yeah.
Oh, you can go to luxurysai.com, and you'll see me, you'll see my work, you'll see the things that I do. You'll see everything right there. Luxurysai.com.
That's spelled S-I or S-Y?
S-A-I.
Okay.
Sam Apple Ice, S-A-I.
Okay, I got that. So you can just do that online, right? You just go luxurysai.com.
Yep, just go to luxurysai.com, and I'll pop right on up. And from there, you can see me, see my work. I'm actually doing a lot of updates to the site this weekend to add all of the Christmas stuff that I've been doing. There's nothing Christmas on my site right now because I've been working on installations. But this weekend, I'm putting all my Christmas pictures up. So you'll actually be able to see a lot of the work that I've been doing since before Thanksgiving. This is a very busy
New Jersey. You work anywhere in New Jersey or only certain areas?
No, I work anywhere. I'll go to Timbuktu if I have to. I work all over. But I'm really between New York, New Jersey, and North Carolina, but I'll go anywhere. Anywhere my client wants to pay me, I'll go.
All right, I'm in New Jersey. But you charge for transportation, so if I tell you to go to the moon, you're going to charge me. Right? I'm just joking.
No, but it's funny that you say that, though, because remember I said I'm not in the business of taking my clients or, you know, overcharging. Here's what if I know somebody wants to do a project in New Jersey, I'll try to plan another project in the same area because now that saves everybody money. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if somebody says, oh, Saida, can you come to Chicago? I don't have any business in Chicago. But if we're going to do it, you know, nobody starts an interior design project one day and does it the next, really. I would now start to market and see who in Chicago may need some interior design work. So that way when I go out there, it can be less expensive because those transportation costs and things like that are spread over multiple clients.
Okay. Well, anyway, I know how to contact you. So I'm in New Jersey.
Thank
I'm
you.
In Monmouth County. So I'll keep that.
Okay.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
Okay. I'm a Jersey native. It was great speaking with you, sir. Thank you for calling in. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Dr. James.
Talk
6246,
soon, sir.
6246, you live.
Jay, that ain't fair. I just got on.
You just got on. Well, you pressed one.
What's the topic, real quick?
Oh man, come on.
You're talking to Luxury Sky. I'm an interior designer and a friend of Randy's for many years.
Yeah, so have I been. I'm surprised I didn't meet you. I've been knowing Randy for over 30 years.
Oh wow! I guess he's kept me hidden.
I sure did. Hey Jay, I was in a little meeting, Jay. You know I always click on. I got on a little early.
No, that's
seeing
all right.
My dear sister's presentation. Okay.
This is
yeah,
This is hold up one second. This Luxury Side. Me and her met way back in 2008. She actually helped pave the way for me to become an author, but. Being that you on the phone, you and her are connected. Sai, he is a health nut.
Oh, all right, stay left. Stay left.
Hey, Far.
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah. What's up, Jack?
She is tell them about your journey through health, real quick.
So really quickly,
when
I turned 40.
Wait, one second. Sai, I seen that video of you and everybody dancing, doing exercise. That's the bomb. Yo, it was a big white girl that was really getting busy.
So that girl who taught that class is one of Sierra's backup dancers, and she teaches this private class. But you saw there was like 40 of us in there that day. But I, you know, I had myself right in the front. so I just realized it's not cute. You know, like I said, when I turned 40, it's not cute. You know, you start getting heavy, our skin starts to drop. You know, we start to get a little pudgy in the middle. And I'm like, I don't like the way this feels. I don't want to be out in the street knowing I feel like I'm 25, but I look like I'm 75. I'm not doing anything to just try to be 25 in the street because I'm not. I'm 51. But on the same note, I want to have a banging body. I want people to be like, oh, my gosh, you look amazing. Thank you. I work really hard at this. I had to pay nutritionists. I paid trainers. And that's why I look the way I look. I put a lot of work into my body.
She definitely looks good. Because when I met you, you was always kind of
thicker.
So from where you at, I watched your journey through the health thing, you know what I mean? And
Thank you.
You really did a lot. But my man Forrest, he's really into the nutrition thing. You tell her, Forrest.
Well, my dear, by the way, what's your first name again? I'm sorry, sister.
Sai, S-A-I.
Oh, Sai, okay. Well, Sai, this is Forrest. I've been a vegan now for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And I've been a gym member because I'm 65. I've been a gym member since 1986.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And I'm no longer in the gym because I built my own little private house gym here at the house. So once you learn techniques, you don't have to, you know, go back into the gym just to keep yourself right. You know, just tapping in what you trained to get after all those years. But the thing is, right, I always tell people that nutrition, especially as you get older, plays a big part in how you feel, how you look, you know. And Jay even took a 21-day cleanse. He took a little vegan journey there for a minute. You know,
twice,
and he got me started in the podcast business because I wasn't on here for a while, but through my promotion, because I was in promotion for years here in New Jersey, and I gave a lot of shows, and a lot of people tried to encourage me to do it, but I finally got on Jay's platform about 3 years ago. Then after he got me started, oh yes, thank you. And I just started my own network, and now I have 16 different shows on my network.
Wow.
And we're open 7 days a week. But I feel your energy because when you laugh and see, I tune in to people, and your vibration resonates with me because I just hear your jovial, nice, you know, your atmosphere is very, very nice. And I just hear it with the laughter and things of that nature. So the only thing I can say to you, even though I tuned in late, I'm sorry I couldn't come on at 8 because, like I said, I was handling some business on my end. I just gave this sister, Nabea, her own show. We were just talking about going over things because she starts in September. Not September, I'm sorry, January. I'm thinking beginning of the year starts next month, you know. But,
yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah, that's it, you know. But I would just like to
it's
say,
so good to hear from you.
Well, thank you. And
it's
you
very, good, very good to hear from you. Are you Muslim?
No. I call myself a melanated conscious brother. That's all.
Oh, okay. I just heard the sister's name. That's why I asked. You know what? I think, if I may add this very quickly, that you mentioned that I'm jovial and that I laugh because black women get such a bad rap, angry black women. I'm like, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to be silly. The pictures that I'm going to post online late tonight, you'll see them when you go to Luxury Side. I'm sitting on the floor playing with Christmas lights. Like, when did we get so serious where we can't do that? So I'm genuinely a happy person, and I think Randy will tell you, I've been this way ever since he met me.
Are you from Patterson?
Passaic.
Passaic, oh, okay. I did a couple of shows out in Passaic. I did I'm trying to think of it. There was a little place. I gave a couple of shows out there, and then they used to have the rec hall out there on Main Street.
Main Avenue.
Yes, Main Avenue, and then they had the VFW. I gave some shows there a few times, you know, for the ladies out there. And they have like a hall. It's been years, and it's like you have to walk in the place, go upstairs, but it's like on a hill. Yeah, I'm Passaic. I've been through Passaic before. In fact,
Sai, he used to do it.
Yeah.
We used to do it. Me and him used to do the same thing. He dancing around.
I used to do male reviews and the female reviews
like,
for the guys
him,
back in the day.
Tell him this is Safe Company. I know what it is. No judgment.
Yeah.
No, because we all have a past, you know. Like I said, now
yeah,
it's time to give back, and it's all about prosperity now, giving back, especially in this day and time, because it's, you know, it's serious out here now, because you're trying to change a lot of things, especially for our culture, you know. So the shows that I give now are very impactful, and we try to educate people and motivate people. And Dr. James, I just heard him before he left. He's one of my listeners. Like he said, and he'll let you know, that when he comes on, a lot of shows that he comes on, he said it's very therapeutic. Now, that's coming from a doctor, okay? Because I can't claim I can't claim any type of degree, but the brother comes on and he's a great listener. And he's part of our listening family. So you know, we just know what we do. And Jay has some tremendous show. It's my man. You know, I've been knowing him he's my Patterson, my Patterson brother. I'm over here in Norton. Okay, so I'm not far from you. And like I said, Pasek, even though it's a small town, you should always stop over there at the Dunkin' Donuts over there on Main Ave. You know,
get a hot chocolate.
Yeah, it's still there, right?
I know. Yep. Well, actually, I think I don't know. I haven't been in Pasek since the summer, so I don't know.
He started, but he got his own podcast now called Grown Folks Talking.
Yeah,
he got his own
talk and express yourself. Yeah,
express yourself. But me and him been friends a long time. But look, Si, I don't want to hold you up much longer. You've been great. I know you got to run. But look, Forrest, hold up. Stay with us, okay, Forrest?
Okay, and nice meeting you, Si. Like my man stay on Star Trek, Mr. Spock, you say. Live long and prosper. You do that, sis.
Oh, I received that. Thank you. Jay, I'll talk to you behind the scenes. Thank you for the opportunity.
No. Hey, Si, hold up. 1 second before I let you go. What they call that when you go back in time or something like that? You know when you go back in time?
A throwback?
Yeah. It could be a throwback. 1 second.
Hey, what's up? This is the Warm Boy, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit.
Oh, my God!
I'm remixed radio.com.
Oh, my God!
One more thing. Listen to this.
Strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the laws which Moses, my servant, has commanded you. Well, there it is, everybody. I'm reading in the chat room. Stop saying today is Tuesday. But yeah, I don't know what it is with me. I think time is flying. Anyway, I just want to speak to the strength of issue. Yeah, I really go by my inner strength, because without it, I think I would have lost my mind already. But anyway, hey, everybody, I'm going to bring my guest in right now. Jay, are you there with me?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing today?
And listen, don't be shy. You better talk it up, or you better talk up your book. Everybody, my friend who is on the line with us, joining us today, his name is Randy Jackson, a.k.a. the author of The Patterson Pen. And his book pretty much. Well, you know what? I'm not even
going to
get into it. Randy, tell us a little bit about your book, and then I'll get into
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm
going to
cry.
That was Si, for my listeners, that was Si interviewing me in 2008, my first radio interview for my when my book came out, The Patterson Pen. So I knew that would get you, Sai.
I'm gonna. That was 14 years ago, my guy.
That was 14 years ago.
Yeah, I shed a tear right about now.
Oh, man. Listen.
God is good. That's the best I can say is I listen to God because my way is typically wrong.
God is good. Sai, look, is anything you want to say before I let you go? You want to give people your information? You want to promote something? You want to tell females? I really would like you to tell females something, like, ladies out there who may be at a job that they bored with or they unhappy with and they afraid to reach for the stars, like, or because, like, you a person that always, every time I've seen you in life, you always reaching for, like, everything is like a fingertip away from you. So you could close out any kind of way you want to close out.
So there's a couple things I want to say. I'll make it brief. I'm telling this to everybody, but particularly women, bet on yourself. Bet on yourself. Stop looking for everybody to rally around and help you. Bet on yourself. One thing I know, one thing for certain, and two things are for damn sure, I can bet on me. If I have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I can't say, oh, somebody wake me up tomorrow. Like speaking about going to the gym, when I started going to the gym, people were like, oh, Sai, call me when you get up and then come pick me up. No, I'm betting on myself. I'm getting up myself, driving myself to the gym. I'm telling women particularly, but anybody, bet on yourself. And the other thing I would like to say, you can find me on luxurysai.com or you just Google me, to be honest. Let's Google Luxury Sai. You'll get my phone number, my email, everything. But this is how I ended my podcast in 2008 and how I still end it today. Always remember we shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that we can do or any kindness that we can show to any human being, let us do it now. Let us not defer or neglect it, for we shall not pass this way again. Randy, thank you so much for the interview. I love you, brother. And if anybody needs me, just hit up luxurysai.com. I'll see y'all later. Thank you.
If anybody reach out to me, I'm gonna reach out to you. And I'm planning on retiring in Atlanta, so you know you got my interior designer job. I love you. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's all about, in this world, it's always about who you know and where you've been. And the people you know or the people you surround yourself with, a lot of time that defines you. Because if you hanging with 9 people who not about shit or not about nothing, and you hanging with 9 people, guess what? It's about to be 10 people who not about shit. So I always try to surround myself with positive people. I always try to surround myself with people who have goals, who had their eye on the prize, who didn't want to settle, who didn't just want to be another number, working for somebody and making somebody else rich. Sai is a woman who, when I knew her, like I said, she's the author of 10 books, and then she went into the nutrition thing, and then she went into some other things, and now she into interior design. And if that don't work, I'm sure she'll try something else. But the thing is that you bet on yourself. And who else better to bet on but yourself? We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean online podcast.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul, it's you living. We all under attack, it's you different. I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner. Gangs got their sights on him, on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my pills dead, they took the road. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it, never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma,
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
in the States for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed,
may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go a 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Welcome, welcome back. Oh man, some people was trying to text me and said that they really didn't understand the show. But what people got to know is that podcast is not like radio. See, radio is radio is edited. Radio is predetermined. See, podcast is in real time. And that's the beauty of it. And the beauty of podcast is that you could talk about whatever you want to talk about when you want to talk about. And you don't have people editing what you say and watching what you say, because you could talk about whatever you want. So we could talk about relationships, and then we could talk about, like I had last week, I had the preacher I interviewed, and the weekend before that I had the interior designer I mean, no, the weekend before that had the domestic violence survivor. And this week I had a young lady who was an interior designer. I mean, in with podcasts, you have to spread, you have to spread the context around. You can't just stay stagnant in one place. You have to spread the knowledge around. And if you don't do that, I mean, what's the use of having a podcast if you can't talk about what you want to talk about when you want to talk about it? So we might talk about relationships one week. We might talk about cheaters. We might talk about killers. We might talk about pastors. We might talk about anything on this show. And that's the beauty of it. I spend my hat to Cy Brown for coming out here talking about interior designing. That's not really a profession that we see a lot of African American women going into. But she told you, like, she betting on herself. I mean, how could you not respect that? Somebody that bets on themselves. A woman that bets on herself. Does not settle. She said she was married. Does not settling and sitting back and just letting men determine what she do or letting a man determine where she at. And that's the problem. We've been held back too long. We've been persecuted too long. Like for people, you know, so people to text me and tell me like, oh well, the show today is whatever or whatever. No, you have to dissect it. You have to look beyond things. The show is what it is. You take from it what you want. And whatever you don't want, if it don't apply, you let it fly. But it's real. Because I'm not going to bring anybody on this show that's not real. I'm not going to talk about things that's not real. We have 2 hours to entertain and educate. And debate and discuss and hear people's opinions. And I swear, I appreciate it all. I appreciate the people that call in. I appreciate the people on the links because people paved the way for me to be here on this radio show. People paved the way for that African-American woman to say, I want to be an interior designer. Like a lot of times people forget, we don't have to come on podcasts and shuck and jive and put on the blue suede shoes and do the two-step all the time. No, we're going to be universal. We're going to talk about everything. Well, I am. It's people out here being persecuted right now for speaking their mind. At least I got a platform of a podcast where I can say what I want. And like I have people out here to come out here and say what they want. It was a time when you couldn't do that. And I represent black people, African American people. I'm not racist, I'm not prejudiced, but I know my history, and I know who I am. I don't have to get on here and guess and bring people on the show who I, you know, who I think might not know what they're talking about. But sometimes people really got to deep down and be appreciative of things. Don't they know it was a time when, like, black people couldn't even drink out of water fountains, couldn't even go to certain schools. And now I could come on a podcast, my own platform, and say what I want. Don't they know it was a time when women couldn't vote, when they didn't have rights? I'm here to speak up for people like that. Because, see, me, I know I'm not blind, deaf, and dumb to the fact I'm an original man with knowledge of self. And I know what our people been through. So for me to let a woman come out here and talk about her goals and her dreams and her beliefs, and she sure sounded like she believed in what she was talking about. And we gotta applaud stuff like that. We got to. We have to applaud stuff like that. We got to stop. We can't say, oh, texting me and saying, oh, the show was boring, or I didn't like the show. And like, why not? You had a black woman up here who's trying to make it, and it sounds like she will. Like, people got to do the knowledge. People got to learn the history. They just have to. They have to take it all the way back. If you got to go all the way back to the slave trade or whatever, you got to do that. And then you appreciate where we at right now. And we still not where we want to be. But it makes me feel good to hear a black woman with confidence. It makes me feel good to hear a black woman with integrity, willpower, and know-how, and to know and understand what she wanted to do. Because when it was a time, like I said, that wasn't possible. Everybody else could be strong. Jewish women could be strong. White women could be strong. But when you hear a black strong woman, now it's boring. Italian women, European women. If it's European women on the show talking, then it's okay. Nah, we got to stop doing that. We got to show support for black women just like we show for every other race. We got to do the history. We got to know our history. Even if you got to go back to slavery time, and I'm not bringing all that up right now, but you know what we know what went on, and if you don't know what's going on, you got to ask me, and I'll tell you what's going on. I'll tell you about the slave trade. I'll tell you about Arabic people killing 40 million Africans. I'll tell you about that. I'll tell you about the Caucasian people, Spaniards created in Italy. I'll tell you about the Dutch people killing 40 million. I'll tell you about the British people killing 30 million. I'll tell you about the British people coming back in the 1900s under the leadership of LaPaul killing 14 more million. I'll tell you about Mussolini. I'll tell you about Hitler killing 40 million. I'll tell you about the Pilgrims, the Dutch, the French. Yo, when you see a black woman with confidence, like, don't do that. We came a long way. Black people, we got the real history. We got the real pyramids. We got the real pharaohs. We got the real ancestors. Don't wait till a black woman come out here and talk with confidence and believe it in herself. And then text me and tell me like the show is boring or whatever. Like, nah. And I know, and the people listening, and I got to call you out on that. I got to correct you on that. Because if it was a white woman up here saying the same thing, you wouldn't feel like that. But since it's a black woman up here, then it's a different scenario. We got to stop that. We do. Anyway, I want to, we got about 8 more minutes left. I want to thank Dr. Kelly for calling in. I want to call and thank Forrest. Wait, let me see. Hey, Forrest, you still on the line?
Yes, sir, my brother.
Okay. All right. One second. 5885, you live.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I thank God. How are you?
I'm okay.
Great show, like always. I'm sorry? No, I said another Friday, we alive. Say that again, I'm sorry?
I said another Friday that we alive, thank God.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. A great show. She's very spiritual. She's very happy, very lovely, and that's good that she's doing good for herself and she's doing well. And she's keeping God first, so she's going to go far.
Right.
Yes. Beautiful spirit. Great show.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Yes, that's all that I have to say.
Oh, okay. Thank you, LaToya.
Yes.
I always get it confused. Thank you for calling in. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm still listening until the podcast is over.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Seven five four three. You live.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's Dr. James again. Let's call back on another
phone.
Hey,
Dr. James.
Yeah, that
82
is very nice. I don't know why people would say that's boring. She's very, very intelligent, and she gave a lot of inspiration. Even the tone of her voice, the happiness that she showed, it gave off a lot of energy. So I don't know why would somebody say that. I can understand that a lot of people don't have a need for an interior designer. Maybe they don't have a house or anything like that. There are some people that may need one. So I think that she was a good guest. You know, I didn't see nothing wrong with her.
Me either.
I just wanted to say that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. Thank you, though.
People have their own opinions.
Yeah.
Know, but she sounds very nice and pleasant and happy and, you know, cheerful and everything.
Yeah,
we gotta
stand up for each other. You know, it's a go ahead.
Well, I said sometimes we don't always need to, like, just talk about each other all the time, you know?
Right. It's a movie called Sir Richard that Will Smith played in. He played Serena Williams and Venus Williams' father.
I heard about it. I never seen it.
It's a great movie. You should see it. That's the one he won the award for. But it's a scene in that movie when Serena is about, I think Venus is about 10 years old, and it's a white man interviewing her. And she says that she feel like she could beat anybody. She like 10 years old. So the white reporter, he asks her, well, why do you feel like you could beat everybody? And her father, he came in and interrupted the video, and he told the white reporter, he said, don't do that. He said, if she feel like she could beat everybody in the world, you leave that alone. Don't mess with her confidence. Do you understand who this is? This is a little black girl and with confidence. He like, don't do that. Don't say anything like that. It's a great scene in a movie because she had, at 10 years old, she had confidence that she could beat anybody, and the white reporter was trying to ask her, you know, to give her doubt.
People do that all the time. Let me tell you something. I got a doctorate degree. I'm board certified, so forth and so on. When I was in high school, I used to take history class. And I would get like almost 100 on every test, like 90, 90. So I had this teacher. She told me, this Jewish teacher said, she went around the classroom and asked everybody what they wanted to be when they graduate. I went to a mainly white school. When I said what I wanted to be, I think I told a lawyer or something, she mumbled in her mouth to the other kids, oh, you ain't going to be nothing.
Wow.
You know?
That's
he said
deep.
That to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the teacher. My own teacher. And I told you, I got like 90s on every test. When she gave out the grade, she gave me a 75.
Wow.
You know, but back then, my parents were not into the school like that. So I went up to her and said, why you give me a 75? My average was 90. She said, oh, because you didn't finish your homework. So, that's, you know, like, if my parents would have been into the school, she would have went up. My parents should have went up to that school and made her change my grade. But they didn't do that back then. My mother and father then wasn't used to running up to the school complaining and stuff, you know? So they got away with that stuff.
And that's some of the stuff that it could either make you or break you as a child.
Yeah.
Thank God it didn't break you.
Well, yeah, but could you imagine how many kids she did break?
Yeah.
Just by saying stuff like that to them?
Yeah, of course.
They didn't want us in this school anyway because the school was predominantly white. But we got, like, integrated into the school back then. Near, you know, in Martin Luther King, them was getting the schools integrated. But
right.
They didn't want us in school anyway. So even
yep.
the teachers talked about us like dogs.
Yeah, Forrest, you still here?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me, Jay?
Yes.
Okay, because you said muted earlier. I piggyback off of what Dr. James says. That's why I said the brother is so insightful when he comes on our shows because he gives that wealth of knowledge. But, I agree with everything he said. And also, for somebody, Jay, to call in the show, Did you hear how happy that young lady was that came on as your guest tonight, and they talking about it was boring? Well, you know what, Jay? If you're still listening to the person that texts Jay, next week he's going to talk about killings. He's going to talk about shootings. He's going to talk about the war over in Ukraine, how many soldiers and Russians got killed. Or in your neck of the woods, wherever you live at, my dear ghetto-thinking person, maybe who if Pookie and Raheem held up the liquor store in your neck of the woods and killed and shot somebody. Okay? Come on, man. You didn't say that was boring. CJ, next week, just to entertain them, give them 10 minutes of murder, mayhem, and mystery. Then they'll be happy. In fact, they'll call Pookie and Ryan. Look, Jake, hey, man, this is right up my frequency, which is very low in my brain. Look who he got on. He's got a killer on. He's got somebody that molested somebody. Hey, that's my cup of tea. That's what I'm talking about. I don't want to hear about a black woman, like you said, Jay, being happy, being healthy. The sister is on her way to a wonderful career. I wonder what the person who texts you that, Jay, I wonder what type of career they have. I wonder what they're doing to give back to their community. Or they're educating the young people in their neck of the woods, huh? Or tell them to study their history and to do the right thing. To encourage their people in where they live. What are you doing for a community service? Do you rake in front of your house? Do you clean in front of your house? Jay, I guarantee you, ride through Patterson, all right, and I guarantee you, when you look at the house, it's got a bunch of leaves and garbage in front of it, that's the person that texts you tonight. Watch, I bet you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, no, it just, sometimes it just lets you know that, like, where we at.
Unfortunately, yes.
Where we at
and
in
Jay,
this
like
world.
You said, and Jay, you know what? Like you said, you know the history. You know they're digitizing money. You understand what I'm saying? They're taking away a lot of things that young people don't understand what the hell is going on because everybody wants to smoke through. And like I said, if you smoke weed and you're conscious and you know what the hell is going on, that's your business. But they're smoking weed. They talk about what's going on down the street, who beat up who. Nonsense. That's they feed their mind with a bunch of nonsense. And then when they start digitizing this money and they want to know why they can't get certain benefits and time is going to get hard and they can't pay their rent and they're going to think about your show, Jay, they're going to say, wow, I should listen to Jay. Instead of talking all this nonsense with somebody down the street, my next door neighbor worried about who's beating up who and who's drinking, who's getting high tonight, the dumb stuff, okay? Yeah.
Yeah,
and then they're going to realize as they get older, they don't have no benefits. Oh, my Lord, what am I going to do? I got to pay my rent. I'm going to pay my gas and electric. See, because you took the time to entertain foolishness, all right, instead of being a young person trying to study. Jay went to community college. I went to community college, all right? You got to start spinning your wheel. You got to start studying. Get your behind in a library and start studying your history and start trying to understand where you want to go in life, all right, and pull somebody in with you, all right, and watch. And most of all, stop eating them pork chops out there, all right, because it's clogging your arteries and the main vessel that goes to you that nourishes your brain cells, because right now you're thinking with not too many brain cells. You're clogged upstairs for you to ask Jay about his guest tonight, that wonderful wealth of information that sister came on and gave us. Jay, I told you, her spirit resonated with me. I heard what the sister was saying, and I hope that whatever endeavor she goes through in life, she's very successful. In fact, guess what, Jay? When she gets to the point where she got her own, she has her own business now. That person who said it was a boring show tonight, guess what? They might be looking for a job 3-4 years down the line, and they might be an interior decorator. The same person that came to you and said, Jay, it's a boring show. You might be getting employed by the same lady that Jay had on his show tonight. So watch what you say. Watch what you put out there in the universe.
Right.
Oh,
hey,
Jay, you know Dre got Rashad coming on Monday, right? I don't know what
Monday.
Yeah,
he told me.
Yeah, I gave him a number, and they hooked up.
Tell before we get off for us, tell everybody how they could get in touch with you on your show.
Oh, man. I'm nervous now, Jay. That person that texts you coming on the show with her, I don't want them coming on. They might try to get up there and say, I don't like this show, you know, because they ain't got my text number. But no, hey, family, for the positive, right-minded thinking people that are trying to do something positive within the culture and the human family. All right, tomorrow night my show comes on. And also we open 7 days a week. Leon ain't on tonight, but, you know, I got a couple of my listeners on up here. And like I said, Jay, after Miss Aiden's show, I told everybody, all right, Jay's show, it's time for Jay's show. In fact, LaToya announced it too earlier. But every Saturday, Grown Folks Talking, Express Yourself, all right, Progressive Podcast Network. And we on every Saturday between 6 and 8. And you want me to give out the number, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay, family, here's the number. Get your cell phones ready. And the person that sent Jay that text, please, just, you know, if you're trying to learn something, you're welcome. But if you're thinking negative, you know, just keep drinking the Kool-Aid that the slave masters feed you on how to think, you know. When Jay shuts down tonight, I guess you could turn on Starbuck or so, Wild Buck, whatever it is, where he's beating up and acting dysfunctional in society so they can lock you up, you know. give you a reckoning, you can't get a job, okay? But call in number is 520-525-8633. Once again, family, 520-525-8633. Dr. Jacqueline Ali is going to be on with Body Talk tomorrow. And for those who are trying to educate themselves and learn something that you may not even know, I said, doctor, come check me out, all right? Hey Jay, how's Lisa doing?
She's out here somewhere, I think, or either she's sleeping. She got disconnected. She was out here earlier.
Oh, okay.
She's doing all right. I'll tell her you asked about it.
And shout out to Shadi and Brother Dre. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Jay, for that. I appreciate
Dre,
the shout out, brother.
I think Dre on the link.
Yeah. Jay, he don't want to pay penny a minute. I can understand. Right, Dre?
Yeah.
I can dig it.
Yo, look. I want to thank everybody for calling in today, Forrest and LaToya and Dr. James. I especially want to thank my guest, Luxury Cy Brown. We got a lot of history, and we gotta do better. We gotta stick together.
Most definitely. Yep.
And we not really, and for the person that said the show boring, we not bashing you with hatred or evil intent. Me, Forrest, Dr. James, or LaToya, we're trying to uplift you and let you know to broaden your horizons, and to know that every week we can't just talk about certain things. We gotta be complex. We gotta be universal. We gotta talk about everything. This lady that came on my show tonight, just from coming on my show, she really educated me, because I didn't know anything about interior designing. That's why I was asking a lot of questions. We all know that it's not like a patternable occupation, but she giving it a try. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm going to tell you, I'm a caller. If I move, when I move, I'm a caller. She got my business, you know, because I don't know nothing about designing the house. I just know how I want it. I don't know how nothing else about it at all. So once again, I want to thank everybody for calling in. Everybody be safe, because COVID is back on the rise. Not only COVID, but the flu and something else. I don't even know what that is. But once again, thanks everybody for calling in. This concludes our show for the evening. Everybody out there, stay safe. And we'll be on next Friday, God willing. Peace.
Peace, Jay.
And stay safe. Peace.
Maybe I see what
working hard, wanna let you know and proud, let you know that I admire what you do. Don't know if I need to reassure you if my life will be purposeless without you. If I want it, when I ask you, you inspire me to be better. You challenge me for the better. Sit back and let me pour out my love letter. Let me help you take off your shoes, untie your shoestring, take off your cufflinks. Don't you wanna eat food? Let me feed you. Let me run your bath water, whatever you desire. I'll fire, sing you a song, turn the game on. I'll brush your hair, help you put your durag on. Wanna put her up, want a manicure. Baby, I'm yours, I wanna cater to you, boy. Let me cater to you, cause baby, this is your day. Do anything for my man, baby, you blow me away. I've got to flip up your dinner. Making sure that I'm doing my part. Boy, is there something you need me to do? If you want it, say the word. I know whatever I'm not fulfilling, another woman is willing. I'm gonna fulfill you, my body and spirit. I promise ya, I keep myself up, remain the same shit you fell in love with. I keep the size, I keep my figure